Well, today we're in the third part of our series. It's a four-part series where we're talking about, some people call this the problem of evil. I know that sounds dark and scary, right? The problem of evil. But it goes like this. If God is good, and he is, can you help me with this? Are you guys not talking today? You can talk in church. Okay, I'm gonna say something, and then you can say, and he is. Okay, if God is good, and okay, and he's all-powerful, and he's all-knowing, so why does he allow evil? Why do bad things happen? And you might have heard it like this. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because somewhere deep in, we feel like bad people. Oh, no. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because deep down inside, you kind of feel like bad people had it coming, right? But it's usually personal. This question is usually one that aches inside of our hearts and minds, and it's personal. It's not just why do bad things happen to good people. Why do bad things happen to me? How many in here are good? Come on. Yes, you are. Aren't you basically good? I mean, you're, come on. Aren't you? I'm not saying you're perfect, although some of you are close. I'm not saying that. But how many would say, look, I live a good life. I'm a nice person. Come on. You know, you don't think so? I'm not asking your wife. I'm asking you. You know, deep inside, there's things in life that do not seem fair. The world is not how it should be. Things are broken, and we see it all the time. And you might wonder, why is it like this? It's horrible. Oh, you know what? I forgot something I really wanted to say. Thank you for all of the appreciation last week. I'm saying this on behalf of all the pastors here. We were overwhelmed by that. The cards, we got messages. There were video messages. I mean, it was really precious. I mean, it was really overwhelming. I do send thank you cards. I got one card, well, two, with no name. So thank you, whoever you were, for that. I appreciate it. So thank you. That part of the world's not broken. You're not broken. The world is broken. There's evil in the world. And a lot of times we're shocked by evil because I think if we were always thinking about the evil, it'd be hard to even function. And sometimes you might get overwhelmed by that, by maybe a certain situation or something you're walking through or something you hear about in the news. And if we lived in that constant fear of that, life would be unmanageable. So I think at one level, we start to put it off a little bit, and then we're shocked again when the evil of the world comes and rears its head, or the evil in somebody, or when somebody hurts you. And you're just amazed, like, wow, it is a broken place. And we talked about this in the first part of the series, the fact that God could have created a world with no evil, but you wouldn't know what that was like. And he could, even now, I mean, we didn't mention this, but I'm saying it now, but I mean, he could get rid of all evil, but then none of us would be here either, right? I really believe that at the heart of it, He's given us free will because he wants a free, loving relationship. He wants you to be able to choose him or not. And because of that, because he's given us agency that we choose, it's a huge responsibility because then when we choose against him, there are consequences. Now, there's good consequences too, but there are bad. And if he's going to limit the bad, then he could also not have the good. I mean, you have to have both. But it still leaves the question, God, why? And I think at the deep heart of it, we start to question God's goodness. Is he good? He is good. You have to trust him. And then we talked about the fact that he made the world perfect. Now, we messed it up. And then he created a pathway for us to have redemption through his son. And then because of that, he is setting the world right, and then we get to participate in that setting the world right. We'll talk more about that next week, but he did create it good. And then we talked about last week how he actually uses those bad things, and he can turn them into good. He's the master at this. He's genius. We talked about it last week, how he doesn't let these bad things go to waste. He actually uses them. If you will work with him in that, he can use those bad things to do things that he may not be able to achieve any other way. I know that sounds like I'm limiting God, but I'm just saying, how does he teach you patience? We've all heard the joke, don't pray for patience, right? Because how does he give you patience? He doesn't just hand it to you. You don't go to the mailbox and say, oh, I got patience today. Thank you, Lord. No, he gives you situations in which you learn patience. That's how it works. It's tougher that way. And we looked at these verses in the book of James where he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I like that he puts trials of many kinds because it's different for everybody. As Pastor Nick shared in the prayer time, I mean, we don't know what everybody's going through. I may know some things, but even deep inside, we may not know the deeper, harder things that you don't want to tell people. Because what do we say when everybody asks you how you're doing today? What did you say? I'm fine. You're fine. But you're not. I mean, most of us aren't. Not all the way fine. I mean, there's things that are fine, but not everything. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You just can't turn life off like you can a video game, or you just can't say, okay, I'm done with this. I'm not going to do this anymore. We got to go through it. And Paul in the book of Romans says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead us to disappoint. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. In college, one of my good friends, my first year in college, I was a freshman, he was a decathlete. Has anybody known that level of athlete? I mean, he was different. He's just different. He was one of those guys, he was literally good at everything. But I watched him train one day. He trained so hard. And he would run, and you know, if you know the decathlon, you do 10 events. And you can't just be okay, you have to be good at 10 events. So then when I would watch and go and watch him compete in a track meet, you could see the annoyance and disgust, for instance, of the pole vaulters. Because this guy would walk in and place third. And that was their whole event. And that was just one of 10. And then he would run the 100, and he would place. And I mean, he's running against people who this is their whole thing he does. But it didn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen by accident. It was the hard, hard training. Now, of course, God had given him physical gifts, but even then, if he just had the gifting and didn't train it, he would never do what he does. I think we want all of that benefit without walking through the difficulty that God uses to build character in us that deepens us and makes us who we are. And I'm not saying that any of us would necessarily walk through the problems that we experience in life. What I'm saying is, let God use those things to build in you, which only those things can build. I grew up in San Diego, and then I went to college in LA, and then was a youth pastor in my hometown in San Diego. And I know this is going to sound like we just have fun all day, which we do have a lot of fun, but as a youth pastor in San Diego in the summer, we would go to the beach every Thursday. Thursday's beach day. And a lot of my friends as youth pastors would do the same thing. We'd see all the other youth and youth groups, and we'd be at the beach every Thursday. So in San Diego, often we'd go to Coronado, and some of you know San Diego, you know the beach in Coronado. It's a really nice beach. On the right side, like if you're facing the water, if you go to the right, it's North Island, so that's the Naval Air Base, NAS North Island. If you go to the left, past Del Coronado, does anybody know what's that way? It's called the Amphib Base. Do you know whose base that is? Anybody? I know you know. Those are the Navy SEALs. And so often, maybe we would play Frisbee, right? I mean, anybody done that on the beach? Throw a football, kick a hacky sack or something, and then we'd be lounging on the beach. And then all of a sudden, you look at the water, and unbeknownst to us, you know, they had just dropped off 300 SEALs at the mouth of the bay. And those guys just swam for 3 miles, full gear. Then they come out, and then they put their boots on, and then they would run through the sand all the way back to the amphib base. And we're like, I got a soda in my hand, and I'm just chilling on the beach. Like, okay. One day we're sitting there and we hear these guys coming and we look over and five-man teams are running with telephone poles. They're running in cadence, full fatigues and boots, in telephone poles, and they're singing those songs they sing. You know those songs they do? And they're just singing them with them going like this the whole way as they're running in formation. Why do they do that? I mean, why would you work that hard? Because what they're called on to do takes preparation that laying on the beach and playing hacky sack won't get you. I mean, we would kind of look at each other and feel like, I could never do that. Not only could I never do that, I never trained to do that. And what they're training to do, what they're required to do beyond that is so much more difficult, but that training takes them to lengths that they would never go to in normal life. But they do that because then they will be able to go farther on the battlefield when they're called to do things that most humans can't do. I know it's maybe a reach for you, but this training is something God does for us because he's going to build in you what only difficulty will build. And yet everything within us cries, I want my life easier. I want it softer. I want no hardship. I want it just easy life. Maybe you've heard this, that everything happens for a reason. Have you heard that? I cringe when people say that. No offense to anybody who said that this week. You know why I cringe? Because I think there's a subtle implication in that, that the everything happens for a reason is God. And that's usually not the case. Usually the reason, a lot of times, it's us. We did it, or we caused it, or someone other human agency. It's not usually God. But what God does do, though, is he takes that pain and he turns it into something beautiful. Have you ever wondered about this? Did you realize that God could take your pain and give it purpose? That you could literally have purpose in your pain. Now, again, the pain's different for everybody. I've been using the story of my leg, and if you weren't here, you can always go back and see all of our sermons either on YouTube or you go to our Facebook, or you could go to our Facebook page too, but you could go to our website and find all of that. I always put our notes in the YouVersion Bible app. They're easy to find. If you just go into the menu, those three lines, and you tap that, it'll go down to events, tap that, and then usually it'll pop up on your device because Big Brother knows you're here. But if you aren't here, you can always put our zip code 64064, easy to remember, and get all these notes. But I've been using the fact that I had a motorcycle accident. It'll be 26 years ago in December. And in that accident, two cars hit me and it tore my foot off, shattered, dislocated my hip. And that's a life-changing event. And I was home or back in California speaking at that church where that happened in a few years ago. And they asked me to, I had some whole thing prepared. And they said, can you just tell the story about your leg and what God did? So I did. And unbeknownst to me, one of the guys in the church, I knew he had been a fireman. I did not know that he was there that day. And I was in his, I don't remember that part, but he told me that day. He said, we talked about you for weeks because the whole way from the accident scene to the hospital, you were sharing Christ with people. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, I don't even remember that. But what if God could take whatever you go through and give it purpose way beyond what you could ever imagine? He could do that with whatever it is. I'm just using this because it's my story. But I'm just telling you, if there was a way for you to see that he could use you and change it, look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. Do you see that? What if he comforts you in your troubles so that you can then take that and comfort others? When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Do you know what the difference is between empathy and sympathy? I spent way too much time looking at the etymology of those words this week. It's funny because sympathy used to mean what we mean by empathy today. Go figure. Words change. You knew that, right? But for most of of at least English, while English has been a thing, sympathy did mean the way we use empathy, because it comes from the two words pathos, which is caring and emotion and feeling, and then synth, which sympathy means same. So you've had the same caring. But in our common usage today, which changed in the 50s, they said, it changed so it's not quite the same thing. Where sympathy today means more like feeling sorry for someone. It's almost like pity, but I mean, you care about what somebody's going through, and that is good. But empathy's different. I mean, empathy's different because it's putting yourself in the other person's shoes. It's the difference when maybe you're walking by a pit. I know that has never happened. You're walking by a pit, and there's someone stuck in the pit, and you feel sorry for them. You could imagine what it would be like to be down there. That's sympathy. But empathy is when you've been in the pit before and you know what it's like to be down there. That's empathy. It's totally different. You understand what they're experiencing. I don't know, has anybody been to a wrestling match? I guess it could be WWE too, but I was thinking about real wrestling. No offense, but you know how you're watching that and you're kind of moving with the person and you're like, and you almost feel it when they're in a really difficult hold? You don't feel it the same, but if you've wrestled, anybody wrestle like in high school or something? It's different because you were there. You've been on the mat before. Sometimes even the smell comes back and you're like, ugh, I remember what that was like. But if you haven't done that, you might have sympathy, but it's not empathy. Not to be weird, but every single guy here knows what it's like when you see a guy hit there, right? You feel it. Every one of us would jerk back, and it's empathy. You know how you're around little kids, and they're just the right height, and they're swinging their arms around, and every single guy is backing away because that's empathy. That's empathy. Women who've had a baby here, right? Us guys can have empathy because we've had a cold. I'm just kidding. It's funny. I know we've all seen those memes, how guys, the guy has a cold. He thinks it's the worst thing ever. But you know the difference. You know what empathy is. You know internally what it is. You know what it is. I know we're all walked through things that are difficult. Maybe a friend betrayed you. I don't know what that is. But I think some of times our reaction to those difficult situations are, we just want to encapsulate it, kind of how our body does with something foreign in, and it'll encapsulate it and push it aside. I'm going to ask you to do something different, though. I'm going to ask you to actually live in experience and then let God heal it and then use it for you to help people. Sometimes you need to experience it and to really embrace what it is. I was in the hospital a long time because they gave me an infection in the hospital, a staph infection, pretty serious. And then they had to do another amputation, like a quarter inch, half inch, and then gave me vancomycin, pretty heavy duty antibiotic morning and night, which I went home with eventually and still didn't kill it. So they cut another 4 inches off. So my leg goes up halfway on my shin. And so there was a long time I didn't have a leg. And I remember in the hospital, because my hip was so bad, way more serious, and they weren't giving me any therapy for it. Usually, if you have a hip surgery of some kind, they're moving it, you're doing things. Mine wasn't, so it was super stiff. And I remember the day this guy comes in. He was a nurse of some kind. I mean, I don't know who he was. But he came in, and he said, I'm just telling you the whole story so you understand where I'm coming from with this. So I've been in bed a long time, month. It's a long time. And he comes in and he says, you're going to stand up today for the first time. And he said, it's going to be about 3 seconds. And that's good. I'm like, oh, okay. I was kind of confused. And he goes, guys like you, you think you can do better than everybody else. You can't. 3 seconds is good. And he walked. I'm like, who is that? Like, what was that about? You know, and then the regular nurse comes in and I said, hey, who was that guy? She goes, well, he's from PT and he, what did he say? And I told her, and she's like, he's just trying to get you to lower your expectations because you haven't stood in a month. Anybody ever slammed your thumb in the door or something? You know how it feels when you put it down? Imagine your legs cut off and you do that. So she said, it's going to hurt, and you're really weak. You haven't stood. You're going to be dizzy. It's going to be really hard. He goes, you're going to stand up, and you're going to feel it like, he goes, it's going to be really difficult. She goes, so what did he say, 3 seconds? She goes, yeah, that's about right. She goes, that's about what most people can take. So I thought, okay. So I'm trying to get my head around that. I was still insulted and trying to figure out, like, okay. So she said, let's get you sat up because it's going to be hard. And so she pulls me around and I sit up and, you know, put your leg over the edge of the, I know this is hard to imagine. I'm just trying to enter you into my world here. And super, like, you could feel the throbbing. It was just crazy. And I'm trying to balance. And then the actual physical therapist walked in. And I know for most of you younger people, you have no concept of this, but guys, anybody remember polio? Well, she had been a polio victim. It was a horrible disease that twisted your joints and whatever. So she walked in. She had those crutches that go up your arm. So she kind of walked in like this. As she came in the door, the first thing I thought was, why are they sending a handicapped person in here? I mean, and then the thought hit me, I think from God, that you're handicapped. And the same way you judged her, people are going to judge you for the rest of your life. And the whole time she's walking over, I'm trying to process this. Like, you think she's not capable. And this is her job. She knows, obviously knows what she's doing. She got the coat. She got the little name badge. She was carrying, you know, that belt they put around you. If you've ever had therapy of any kind, that big web belt. Have you ever had this too? Where you keep telling yourself, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, and then you hear yourself saying it. And I said, what if I fall on you? I mean, she just stood there with her little crutches, and she goes, you don't think I can do my job? Oh. And she put that belt on me and started jerking me around, you know, and I stood up 3 seconds. And you're just like, oh, you're shaking like three, you know. And she goes, okay, that's good. Sat me down. And she was right about every single thing. You know, I remember thinking about that 4 weeks. I'm handicapped. I am her. Remember that part of the verse? He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. I joined a club that day. That's kind of a special club. And I now have empathy where before I had sympathy. Now I never realized that I judged people as less than or incapable because of a disability or something, but clearly I did. And it's so funny how God works in us and gives us an experience that then he, if you allow him to heal you, will use for his glory. I don't feel like a victim, or I don't often feel handicapped. Yes, I put my, you know, that old thing about you, well, he puts his pants on just like everybody else. Okay, that's not true. It's not true for me either. But I'm not a victim of that. You know what I realize? Most handicaps are mental and in the heart more than they are in the physical. I think a lot of times we hold on to that for whatever reason. If we can't let go of the pain, or we can't forgive, or we can't let God work in it, or let God heal it. And look, I'm not minimizing what it is you're thinking about, because you're all thinking about something different. I know that. I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm not saying it's easy. But I'm saying that God will do it if you'll let him. And it may take a while. I know that. I mean, I was on crutches for a month, maybe. I don't know. 2 months. I don't know what your pain is. I don't know if someone hurt you when you were young, and maybe what they said or did to you, it just rings in your mind all the time and you can't get it out of your head. Maybe they called you names. Maybe you were told you can't be anything or do anything, or you'll be just like your father. Maybe you were bullied. I can't tell you how my heart aches when I'm talking to someone and they bring up a bully situation from grade school or high school. And I think, God, I want them to be healed and free. Maybe it is an injury or abandonment of some kind, or broken trust, or a broken relationship. You know, in a room this size, statistics, there's a lot of us who've been hurt. Maybe a spouse left you or abandoned you. Maybe you lost a child. Maybe it was a death that really struck you. Or maybe you've been through cancer or have cancer now. Or a deep heart issue or surgery or PTSD. Or maybe it's a sin that you've been carrying around and you still feel the guilt of something that God wants to forgive. And you're just still identifying as whatever that sin was. I wonder how many people don't serve in the church because you don't feel like you're good enough, or you're someone might find out, instead of letting God heal and use it. I think about this, you know, I think about you can literally become a wounded healer. At first, I resisted it. You know, that whole thing where I judged her and thought about that. I thought about that and I thought, no, I'm normal. What is normal? Do you know what that is? Well, it's not me. I'll just tell you that. So, but it's funny how times this happens. This happened one day. It was really funny. I was at the gym and I got a notification on my phone. It was a text from someone who goes here, John Harris. And he goes, yeah, one of my friends just put you on his Facebook. I'm like, what are you talking about? Then he sent me the picture, and I had just been squatting, and the picture was of me from the back, and it said, if he can do it, you can do it. Get your butt to the gym. He's doing that to me, whoever that guy was. I mean, what I was doing wasn't outstanding. I wasn't even lifting that much. I was just doing a normal thing, but because I'm handicapped, it's special. Do you see how that works? I can't tell you how many times people will say, man, you walk good. You know what they mean, right? For a crippled guy. Do you see how that could get you if you let it? You see that? This happened. It was really funny. A couple weeks ago, we were at a conference down in Springfield. The pastors were all down there. And a missionary who had been at our church saw me wearing shorts there. And he was freaked out. He brought his wife over to look at me. And I was trying to be funny. I don't think they even got it, but I was like, yeah, I know it's awkward. People stare at me on my legs all the time. I'm gonna have to have you kind of put your eyes up. I know how it feels to be a woman. Okay, my eyes are right here. Look at me, let's look at me. Because I'm not this, right? But I am, and it's okay. I don't mind being an inspiration for people. I wish I was inspiring because I was doing really cool extra things, but sometimes I'm inspiring just because I'm walking, and that's okay. It's okay. It is comical, though. So, Theo and I, my son, we hiked in Zion National Park. Anybody been there? You need to go there. It's amazing. And some of the hikes are phenomenal. They have the Narrows, which is, you're hiking through this slot canyon. If you don't even know what that is, just Google it. It's amazing. They're beautiful. And you're walking through the water. And it had snowed that morning. And we got there. We drove a long way to get there. And we didn't have waders. But I'm figuring, I only got one leg to feel the cold. So I'm good. And Theo was cool with it. So we're hiking through this 40-degree water with snow on the banks. And we get to a one point, you know, and this whole group of people, like we hadn't seen people in a long time, there's a group of people up ahead, and this lady comes over and she goes, this is gonna sound weird, but can I take a picture of you? I don't know if we have that picture or not, but she goes, I just wanna take a picture of you because I'm a physical therapist, my friend over here is a therapist, in our office we have handicapped people who will not stand up out of their wheelchair, and you're doing what most people won't even try to do. So that picture is hanging in somebody's office somewhere. I don't even know where they live because we were doing normal things, but I'm handicapped. So I get it. I don't mind being an inspiration. And then as we were hiking up Angel's Landing, you have to do that. It's the most incredible hike. If you could show some of those pictures, it's incredible. But it was so funny how many people would be like, can you see the people on there? And they're like, how are you doing this? And part of me wants to be a smart aleck and be like, walk? I mean, foot? Is that what you mean? Because you're doing it. I'm doing it. But I get it. That's the top. You know, don't ask me why Theo's not sweating and I am. I'm just saying. That's just how it is. You know how I look at it now? At first, it used to bug me, to be honest. And this People will say this, it happens a lot, and they will say, like, oh, you're such an inspiration. This happened to me. I did one of the 14,000 footers in Colorado, and I didn't want anybody to, I just wanted to do it. So as I'm doing it, at one point, this girl is running by me, okay, and she looks and she goes, wow, that's amazing. You're an inspiration. Literally, I'm like, you are running up the hill. I'm walking. Thank you. But you know what? God did a work in my heart, because I realized, why not let God get the glory? And if this is how people are inspired or grow, I don't mind him using this. Why not? Why not give this pain purpose and have it have meaning far beyond me? Because do I care? I mean, I don't care. Yeah, it's great. This happens all the time. God uses this more than you can ever imagine. He just does. I was in Walmart this years ago, and I love going to Walmart, especially at night, on the weekends. It's really amazing. It's just entertaining. So one night I go in there, and Blue Springs Walmart. A lot of them are set up the same anyway. So I walked in, and I had to get something in the pharmacy area, and then I wanted to get something sporting goods, so I went to the back, and then I went across because I needed something for the dog, and then I needed some gum. So I literally made the circuit. And when I went in, I could hear this guy yelling, but it's Walmart, so I'm like, okay, somebody's yelling something. And I could hear him the whole time I was in there, and it was amusing, just wonder what that guy's yelling for. And so I got to the front, and because I'd come in the pharmacy side, that's where I was going to go check out. And as I was, you know, slowing down to check out, this guy comes up next to me in one of those cart things, you know. And right away I see him. He's got his amputated leg, and he's got his intact leg. And he rolls up, and he's got the crutches on the cart. And he goes, I've been chasing you all around Walmart. I had no idea he was yelling for me the whole time. I did not know that. And he, first thing out of his mouth, how do you walk like that? He goes, I could not even catch you. And then you would get away from me. And then I thought it was you. And I followed some people, and it was the wrong person. And then I kept. And then right then, his grown daughters walked up behind him. And he goes, how do you do that? Okay, remember the sympathy, empathy thing? I said, well, where's your leg? And he goes, oh, it's at home in the corner. I'm like, why aren't you wearing your leg? I can say that. You could never say that to him. Do you guys get this? And he told me, it hurts. I'm like, yeah, it hurts. Yeah, it's going to hurt for a while till you get used to it. And this happened. This was, Marsha Warner had a weird, like a heart attack thing, and she had stents put in. And I'd been mowing the lawn and get the call, and I ran to Lee Summit Community Hospital, that one on 50 Highway. So I ran in there, you know, and I had a t-shirt on and shorts. And I come up to the elevator there, and right then this older lady and her daughter, grown like 30-year-old daughter's coming off, and I could tell they've been crying. I said, are you guys okay? And they're looking at me, and then the daughter looks down, and she looks at me. She looks down at my leg. I'm like, eyes are up here. Because she looks up, and she goes, oh, I wish you could talk to my dad. I'm like, well, I can. I'm a pastor. And she goes, you're a pastor? Yes. I know I'm not in uniform today, but yes. And I said, what's going on? Well, my dad has diabetes, and he just had his leg amputated. And he's telling my mom he doesn't want to live. And they're crying. And I said, well, I can talk to him. What room is he in? Look at God. He's right next door to Marsha. Literally next door. So I walk in, and you know, I walked in, and I don't know why. I walked in before them. I just do what I do. I walked in, and he's like, who the hell are you? You know, I'm like, you know, because I'm not dressed appropriately. And I said, oh, and then his daughter comes in, Dad, look at his leg. And he looks at my leg and bursts into tears. And we talk for 20, 30 minutes about how he's going to walk again. And I got to see him two or three times that week because Marsh, I mean, you know, see what God does? I was at Sam's. And, okay, I'm just going to be real honest with you guys how God does this, okay? I'm just going to tell you true things. So I walked in. Right away, I see a guy in one of the carts. And he was a black guy, and he kind of had gang stuff on, you know, the headband, whatever. I don't know. And I had just come from school, so I was dressed nicer than this. I had khakis on and, you know, a nice shirt. It plays into the story because he couldn't see my leg. So I'm kind of debating, do I go talk to this guy? Because I could tell he had a fresh amputation. He still had the wrap on it. It was still swollen. It was fresh. I mean, 2 weeks maybe. And I see him there, and I thought, I don't know if he's going to want to talk to me. You know, race stuff. It's real. I've worked in the inner city a long time in my ministry, but I went up to him and I said, man, that looks fresh. What about 2 weeks? And he looks at me like he's going to kill me. And he's like, who are you? And I said, well, we got this in common. So I pulled my pant leg up. We talked about how long it's going to take for him to walk. When is he going to get his leg? What it's going to feel like? Is he going to be able to do everything he wanted to do again? Is he going to be able to drive? I mean, he had all these questions. And we just stood there and talked. Do you see the difference? That's empathy. I have been right where he is. And I knew exactly every answer to every question because I've been like that. And then his deep question, am I going to walk like you? I'm like, well, yeah, if you work at it. Yeah, you can. You can do this just like me. So I was checking out a little while later, and I feel someone tug it on my sleeve, and I look over, and turns out it's his wife. She tells me, cannot believe how God put you in this place at this time. She goes, you have no idea how hard it was to get him out of the house. He told me he's never leaving the house again. He told me his life was over. But he needed to see me that day, and he needed me to be healed. Do you get that part? He needed me to be ready to talk to him about what he was going through and his next steps. Because I could do it because I've been there. But it takes you allowing God to work in you. You know, Paul had an interesting situation. We don't know all the details. He calls it his thorn in the flesh. And theologians, literally for thousands of years, have debated what it is. Paul doesn't go into detail. All he says is that he could have all this reason for pride, but God gave him this thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. And he says, I asked God to remove it 3 times. And what God said to him, I feel like God needs to say to somebody in here, because you may feel like whatever it is that you have hanging in your background or something you've walked through has become like a thorn in the flesh. That he says this, that he asked God to take it away. And each time God said to him, my grace is all you need. King James, my grace is sufficient for you. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Let me give you a little amputee insight. I don't know if you knew this, but I could get fake skin put on my leg. And there are amputees who do that. Fine, you can do that. I'm not doing that because I break stuff. It makes it harder to get to. It's just practical for me. But also, I look at it like, why would I hide what I am? It's who I am. It's part of me. It's not me, but it's part of me. Because God can work in my weakness. And if my weakness ends up being an inspiration because I do normal things, okay, that's fine. He can do whatever he wants. And that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Let me ask you, this might be a difficult question. Are you going to waste your pain? What if you found a way to use that as a bridge to a conversation that led someone to Christ? Led them to Christ. What if whatever it is that you've been through could be the very thing they need to hear at the moment they need to hear it because you have lived it and because you can empathize in a way that no one else could, and they'll listen to you. They will listen to you. I don't think that man in Sam's Club that day would have talked to anybody else. And certainly just not some random white guy walk up. I mean, let's be real. He talked to me because I've been where he's been. You got a story to tell. Your story and how it connects with God's story and what God has done in your life and how you can help other people. Now you can, please don't be offended. You can hold on to your pain and wallow in it and feel sorry for yourself. I get there's a place for that maybe in your life. But if you could let God heal you. I've got so many versions of my story. I've got my 2-minute elevator version. And I can usually tell right away how open somebody is to hearing about the gospel immediately. I've got that. I tell the story so many different ways. It's the same story. I would encourage you to think through how God could use your story and how would you tell it. I mean, I like to have fun with people too, you know, talk about alligators and stuff or you know, lava in Iceland, but they know that's not true. And then they want to hear the story. Can I tell you one really quick story? Another one? I was in Walmart. Walmart's the best. I'm in Walmart, and we're standing in line, and this guy in front of me, this guy, I might have told this story before. On the back of his head, it looked like a volcano. The scar was like a volcano. It was insane looking. I mean, it was round, and you could see, like, where's... I'm just staring at that like, oh, my gosh. And then, I don't know why, I looked at the lady behind me, and she's like, I know. I mean, she just mouths it really quiet. And I'm like, I'm going to ask him what happened. She's like, no, you aren't. Yes, I am. So I just said, dude, what in the world happened to your head? And he goes, you never believe it. I was a cabbie in Kansas City. Some guy shot me in my head. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, I'm driving the cab. We stop at a light. And next thing I know, I wake up and I'm on the horn and it's blowing and I can feel there's pain. I'm like, what in the world? He goes, somehow that bullet just went off of me, and I'm like, well, you must believe in God, right? You've got to believe in God after that. And he goes, oh, you know that's right. And so we had this whole talk about Jesus, and he goes, what about your leg? And I gave him the 3 or 4 minute version because now we had an audience talking about what God did to him and what God did to me, and everybody's listening, and I guarantee you every single one of them, they're not going to question our faith in God and what God did to us. Do you see how this works? If you could somehow let him work through you, he can do this. He can redeem your past, whatever that is. He can do that. He can give a, felt like a preacher, I put all these phrases together. He can give you meaning to your mess, future to your failure. You know, you don't have a testimony without a test. You know that, right? You know that, right? I heard a preacher once, he said, we all want the story, but we don't want the testimony. Because if there's no test, all you have is a moaning. Like, wait, what? What did he just say? He gives you hope out of your hurt. He does this. He does it. He gives you purpose in your pain. I'm going to ask you to shut your eyes, everybody in the room. I don't know what your story is. I don't know. I don't need to know. God knows. He knows. Not only does he know, but he's willing and he's able and he's wanting to work in and through it if you let him do that. The first thing is you turning it over to him, letting him heal it, letting him work in whatever that is. I don't know what it is. It's up to you what you want God to do. And if you want him and if you allow him, he will take whatever that is and use it for his glory. And you just get to sit back and watch him work because it's what he does. You're just a tool he uses to reach other people who've been where you are. And because of the empathy, because you've shared it, you've walked that road, then you can show them the way out of it and show them what God can do in it and how he can redeem it. And you get to tell the story. But you have to have the story first. I'm wondering if there's somebody in here, you have not given your life to Christ. You haven't actually surrendered to him. I'll tell you this morning in our devotional that we do as a church, you can join us anytime if you want that. You can do it. And we're reading through the scripture. And I just had this sense that someone's going to give their life to Christ today. And then Frank Hinkle came up to me and he said, yeah, there is somebody here who maybe you've been putting it off, but we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Guys, we're just not. And there's something about life, it's so fragile and temporary, and I'm not trying to I'm not trying to be manipulative, but maybe you're here and you've just put it off. Just challenging you and pleading with you, don't put it off. Anybody here, you would say, I do need to give my life to Christ, and I need to do it today, because today's your day. You can do that today. Anybody at all, you would say, I need to give my life to Christ, and it is today. Anybody at all? I do see that hand, and I appreciate your response. Anybody else? It's hard to see. Anybody else? All right, I just want you to know, we have Bibles, we have people who would love to share with you these next steps. You know, when you become a Christian, I think one of the most important things you can do is get a Bible, read the book of John. Find out everything you can about Jesus, who he is, why he came. It's a wonderful book. It's just written in a way that explains all that. Would you stand with me? And as we stand, I want to invite those who are prepared to help us pray, our board staff and spouses, if you would come down quickly. And I'm going to add one more thing to this. We are going to pray as a group. And for that one who raised their hand, and even if you didn't, God changes lives all the time. It really comes down to this. You surrendering to him, say, God, I can't fix my life. I need you. I've done things that are wrong. I need them forgiven. Jesus provided the forgiveness. We accept his forgiveness and we live for him. You can do that anywhere, anytime. But for that one who raised their hand, I just want to say, we're going to pray in a minute and pray with you. And I'm going to have everybody repeat this. But if I could just say this to whoever else is in this room, and maybe you've walked through something and you're still hurting. It's okay. We get it. The Bible's full of people lamenting their pain. It's actually a kind of a formula in scripture. It's a way to say, God, can't believe this is happening. Why is this happening? Why aren't you doing more? Then you remind yourself, he's able, he's God, he loves you, he cares about you, he'll bring you through it, and then we praise him for it. So I don't know where you're at in that process, but I want to pray for you this morning as well. And if you need prayer personally, just hop out of the row you're in, come down, these folks here will pray for you. If it's for healing, physical, emotional, maybe the past, whatever that is, if it's something you need prayer for, that you just want them to stand in with you, maybe a situation in your life. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you want God to give you more power to witness, please come down. But I'm going to pray for all of us. If you would just first repeat after me with this prayer, we're going to pray for that one who raised their hand. And if that's you, just mean this with all your heart. So just repeat this part after me. Father God, I need you. I want you in charge of my life. I give you my life. Sorry for what I've done that's wrong. I need Christ's forgiveness. Forgive me. Make me new. Come in. Change me. And now let me pray, just pray for all of us. Father, I stand before this group of people. We're all hurt, crippled in some way. We've got wounds. We've got scars. Every one of us have things that have hurt us, things we need healed and changed. And I pray, God, from the depth of my heart, for every one of my friends in this room here today, every single person watching online, God, I pray you would reach into our lives, and whatever that is that's been on our minds, that's been keeping us for living fully victorious lives, God, that you would reach in and heal that thing, that you would begin to heal that thing, that you would help us to forgive, or whatever it takes for us to release that to you and be free. And God, then I pray in addition to that, that you would use each and every one of us to be wounded healers, that you would use whatever it is that's happened in our lives, that you would take that thing that's been difficult and hard, and you would heal it and turn it around to be a tool for your glory, and that you would use us in that empathetic way to help people come to know you as Savior, and for them also to be healed in whatever it is, God, that we've walked through. I pray, God, that you would redeem every single one of our experiences, give purpose to our pain, and that we would be wounded healers for you. And I pray that over every single person in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My challenge for you is to go to do that. Tell your story. Let people see it. Let them see God's story and your story and how he can redeem and heal them as well. Amen. God bless you. And if you're new here today, and as you're walking out, I see we've got greeters at the doors. They've got a little gift for you, because if you're new, we want to connect with you and we'd like to get to know you. So God bless you today.